much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Yes, what a show.
How about that whole deal?
Well, if it makes you feel better, I'd rather be up here with you than down there with those teenage people with their memes and their hashtags and Drakes.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Well, are you referring to black gentlemen in Paris?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You guys are gangsta.
Roll another one.
It's stupid, but we like it.
Just like the other.
Keep on believing.
This one seems to be about to quit.
K-Rock.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
You do not want Pat Boone on your ass.
That's true.
Roll.
That girl about her vagina.
Just like the other one.
Shalala.
This one seems to be about to end.
I was like, what?
I don't have another cent.
That's right, it is time for Rodney and the Rock. Hey, that's me. Rah, rah.
No way.
Way.
Just pass it around.
Listen to the kids.
Now.
I'm the king of the castle, and you're the dirty rascal. Crash into me. Crash into me.
Our feature presentation.
Hey, it's Friday. I'm Rodney. You're Friday. Hey, it's Rodney Bingenheimer here, winding down another week of great flashback. Well, that's Richard's show. Man, what am I doing? Am I doing the flashback show or what?
Whoa.
R.I.P. Rodney.
Aww.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBean Show. It is Friday morning, the 22nd of April. So, how y'all? Y'all is good, I imagine.
All right.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. What was your Prince experience like yesterday, Allie? How did you spend your day?
Deep dives.
Yeah?
Deep dives. Yeah. Videos, songs, everything.
Prince, by the way, this was weird. By the way, Prince died. And it was weird because...
Spoiler alert. Dear Lord.
His music is not available on streaming services, except for Tidal. I think he had to deal with Tidal. But no one has Tidal.
No.
So for people who didn't already own Prince music, you know, from iTunes or old school vinyl or CDs, there kind of was no place to go. He even took all of his stuff off YouTube, right?
Yeah, there were just random, like, Vivo and random sites like that. You could see, like, old videos. But
an occasional live performance or something. There was a lot of his Rock and Roll Hall of Fame performance that was spread yesterday, which was great to see again.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Yeah. Which
greatest Super Bowl halftime show ever?
Definitely. Not even a question. At least in my lifetime. But I forgot how hard it was raining at that Super Bowl. I mean, it was torrential downpours, and he killed it.
I remember that it was raining hard, but what I didn't know until yesterday, until I...
It's raining bad.
No, raining hard.
Nope.
Raining a lot.
Weber, no.
Talking about but something else.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't realize until I saw an interview yesterday with one of the guys who was on the production team for that, is that when the producer, what's his name, Don Mischner, who produced the Super Bowl halftime show, he talked to Prince that morning and said, I just want to let you know, it's really raining.
It's raining. Nope.
Prince has a great response that you're going to want to hear. His
Prince
response.
Says to him, can you make it rain harder?
Yes.
No. And he went out there, and I don't know. Look, I am no musician, so you guys tell me. But I always thought the combination of water and electricity was not something you wanted to be standing in. But it didn't seem to bother him at all, did it?
Yeah, he's...
With all this electric guitars going on.
He's Prince.
Yeah. The only other person I saw do that was Dave Grohl, Foo Fighters, at Lollapalooza. It was raining so hard, I thought I was going to drown standing there. And he played, went on right on plan. I was just thinking the same thing. Isn't there electricity up there?
I mean, people been literally electrocuted on stage in performances like that. But that was one of the great live performances. And there were people yesterday who were saying, and I know that there tends to be a lot of hyperbole when a person dies, he's always the best and the greatest. But there were people yesterday making the argument that he was the greatest live performer of all time. Would you entertain that idea?
I would, because I've seen him. I think I mentioned this to you guys yesterday. I've seen Prince more than any other artist live. And I'm telling you, every single performance was different.
Yeah.
Every single one was like he was playing for the last time. He put something otherworldly into his live performances that I don't think people do anymore.
I feel every word that you just said about the many times I have seen Bruce Springsteen, but Prince has the added advantage of dancing on top of everything that both of them are doing.
And a lot of people forget multi-instrumental. He played everything. I mean, the man is a musical genius. He did everything.
I saw a great piece yesterday that talked about, and by the way, we are going to be talking to you about your Prince memories, and we're getting an update on the investigation and ahead of the autopsy, I guess, later on this morning with TMZ.com. But I did see some interesting tidbits yesterday of things I didn't know about Prince. In fact, can you give me a little echo here, Kevin, for this? This is Fun Facts About Prince.
That was worth it.
Right?
I
liked it.
Okay.
For instance, an interview in the UK Daily Mail, Prince's ex-wife, Maite Garcia, said that the home that they shared together had Prince had a hair salon built into it. That he always liked to get his hair did. You know, he always looked fresh. That she was not allowed to use. I had to go out if I needed to get my hair done. The salon was not for me. It was only for my husband, Prince, to have his hair done. She also said, and this is another, Prince Fun Fact...
Heads up. Give me a heads up. Like a count me in.
Well, I thought this is another.
Three, two, one.
A Prince fun fact. Even when we were married, she said, I had to wait for him to call me. I was not allowed to call him. I have no idea why. He never actually said. Okay.
He's a weirdo.
He's definitely a weirdo.
He's a nutter butter.
Yeah.
And that's what made him fantastic.
Agreed.
On his album One Night Alone, Prince's doves, Divine and Majesty, are credited with background ambient singing. Three, two, one. Another Prince fun fact. Prince did not let reporters record his interviews. Now, we have seen a few times where he was on television where he would do that. But if you went to interview him for a magazine, you're with People or Entertainment Weekly or somebody, you couldn't record it. He said, some in the past have taken my voice and sold it. He says he's not keen on journalists taking notes either. Why? That would just be like texting, he said. Not really understanding that you take notes so that you can accurately reflect what the conversation was.
Does he know what texting is?
I think he does. an interview in Notorious, he said, your magazine probably won't... Your magazine probably won't print this, because someone had asked him in the interview about how he stayed looking so young. Your magazine probably won't print this, but I don't believe in time. I don't count. When you count... It ages you.
Hmm. I bet Morris Day loved that.
File.
All right.
with prejudice.
Okay.
thought of it. I thought of that.
Did
and
you?
I was like,
and
no,
like,
that's Chad. No. Are you kidding? No way.
And finally, in 3, 2, 1, a final Prince.
It's final one, Kevin.
One
count
more...
me in.
Well, it's obvious I'm trying to do it now.
I know, but count me in.
In three, two,
what?
You don't bring it up for the countdown. You bring it up at the end.
I blame this on you.
And finally, in three, no.
All right, sorry.
And finally, in 3, 2, 1, a final Prince fun fact. We all remember when the Black Album was going to come out. Well, this old people remember when the Black Album was going to come out back in 1987. And then 1 week before it was supposed to come out, Prince called the record company and said, no, you can't release it. But I didn't know until yesterday why. Apparently, he was on ecstasy and he had a vision that he would be committing an act of evil if he unleashed such dark-sounding music on the world. It was after
wow.
a trip. He said, I can't do it. I can't release it. And he called and made them shelve the album. You remember a few copies got out and it became a real big, valuable collectible. And eventually, I guess the trip wore off because he did release the album many years later in 1994. So
can you imagine being the guy he called?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
wait, why
God.
Can't I put it out? Wait,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, you got a whole campaign yeah. ready to go. You're getting ready to release this new Prince album, which, by the way, in 1987, a Prince album was I mean, that was their bottom line.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
how they're gonna, that was their Christmas bonus.
That meeting
out a
did
record.
Not go well with
that meeting
executives.
Did not go well. So, no, we're done with that. No. So he, so because of ecstasy, he said no on the Black Album. And then 8 years later, they did release it. So there you go. A few interesting things I learned about Prince.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Come on, Bean.
Right? Bean just mentioned Dax Holt from TMZ. We're going to talk to him. We are going to talk to Kat, who has actually been to Prince's house.
Whoa.
And got locked in his bathroom.
Like you do.
Like you do. We have
That's not your hope when you go to Prince's house,
I don't think
by the
it's
way.
Your hope. No.
That's going to be part of the evening, I guess.
We have thanks for that info, Bean.
Uh-oh.
Are you? Yeah, it's a pretty good match. We're going to give you a few more details on the 8-year-old birthday party with strippers.
Oh, no.
That kid knows how to live right there, right?
I don't think so.
No?
No.
That's not good?
No, I feel like maybe it was bad.
Really? Can you ever be too young to learn how to make it rain?
I think eight might be too young.
I'll have to look at that again. I think we're going to have to agree to disagree.
Really? You
yeah,
think
I
it's
so.
Totally appropriate?
I think it's good.
Okay.
Thumbs up.
All right.
And the movie beat, because it is Friday. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat now. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
And for the first time, we are allowed to say these words, details on the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016, Monday morning, 7:15. It's that time of year, you guys. Weenie Roast,
exciting.
Come on. Come on.
The first time you said all those words? You probably used some of those words before in your life.
Right, but not in that order.
Ah, yes.
See, that's what it is. This year's Weenie
yes.
Roast.
Excellent.
Details Monday morning. Ralph is here, time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. Hey, Ralph.
If it's possible, the news about Prince's death got even sadder yesterday with stories from TMZ and other sources saying that Prince was reportedly treated for a drug overdose before his death. This according to... sources TMZ got a hold of with the hospital where he was treated. Remember when he had that emergency landing that he had to have when they diverted his plane because of what they were calling flu symptoms at the time?
Right.
At least that's what his people were calling them, which I guess now, in retrospect, seems to be some sort of cover-up. Variety and TMZ both reporting that he was reportedly treated for a drug overdose of opiates at the hospital. That's what that emergency landing was all about, given what they call a safe shot. Which is something apparently you are given to counteract the effects of opiates if you are in danger of overdosing. And that now, of course, is leading to speculation that perhaps drugs played some role in his actual death at his home there at Paisley Park. So we won't know more, obviously, until the autopsy. But if that is the case, what even sadder
yes.
that his passing may be because of some struggle he was having with addiction, which is just heartbreaking to think that's the... That's the cause that took away such a great artist like Prince. So we'll know more soon, but sad news made even sadder. Imagine, speaking of sad, you know how much we all hate the Kardashians.
Right.
Imagine if you were related to them.
Okay. I'm listening.
That's all. I'm just thinking about No, I say this because apparently at Coachella last weekend, Brody Jenner was attending, and someone offered him congratulations on his family's success at Coachella over the weekend. Apparently, Brody lost it and snapped back that the Kardashians are not my effing family.
Whoa.
Boom! Drop the mic. It's true, they're not. And to be even connected with them, oh, this would be a nightmare.
Yeah, it's rough.
Ugh. Can you imagine? Ugh.
I wonder about the people. I don't know. That's a very pleasant noise. I don't know how common the name Kardashian is, but imagine if you're not related to them and you're a Kardashian. Imagine
it's
how miserable
bad to have the
that
name,
must be.
But I'm saying if you had to spend any sort of time or have any actual connection with them life,
yeah,
you
dread
to deal
every
with
holiday.
Them at some
Absolutely.
Family function or something. Oh, my Lord. I would just...
Yeah, that would suck.
I would revert back to, like, fifth grade, and I would just start wadding up spitballs. I'd get a straw and a spitball, just snailing people in the back of the night, just sit in the corner drunk spitballing people. That'd be my entire...
I don't know why, but I like it.
That'd be my entire family experience.
Sweet.
And, I don't know. I don't know if Bean's going to be able to handle this or not.
Uh-oh.
Because you know how he likes to circle the drain of creepy. You know, that's his thing.
I don't know what you're referring to at all.
Circle the drain, please.
Victoria's Secret has announced...
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
They are ending their swimwear line and the print catalog that goes along with it. You will no longer be able to page through the Victoria's Secret swimsuit catalog and look at the ladies in their swimsuits.
I am I'm fine with that.
Please.
They're going to reduce their promotions, they told stockholders and shareholders at a meeting recently. Eliminate the catalog. And they're going to stop selling certain categories of their clothing wear. They're going to stick with the lingerie, I guess, and get rid of the swimwear. Now, I didn't know this, but the swimwear line apparently was a multi-million dollar part of the company's operation.
Huh.
But they are going to make a shift towards just the frilly undergarments that we all know and love. You know, like that bra made out of metal. Diamonds and gold and rubies and things. You know, things women need.
Sure.
Right.
Stuff like that. And Dish customers are happy. There was a last-minute deal between Viacom and Dish that saved Dish viewers from getting the plug pulled on them from a bunch of TV networks as of yesterday. The new multi-year agreement includes making some of Viacom's channels, including Comedy Central and BET and Spike and MTV and Nick Jr., available through one of Dish's lower-cost operations, the Sling TV streaming service, for the first time as well. So they'll get that.
There are an lot of complicated deals between companies that have to be made in order for those channels to come into our homes every
year. Yeah, these carriage deals they have to make in order to get what you want, and then what tier do you get it on? How much do you have to spend to get what package? And it can be a big nightmare. But the Dish TV customers were in danger of losing all the Viacom networks if the deal didn't come through. So it's good news for...
At least the Dodger thing got settled.
Though. Right. Yeah, at least we can all watch the Dodgers. And that's what really matters.
Right.
Mark Burnett, our buddy Mark Burnett, who still hasn't gotten off his fat ass to do jingles, by the way. Where's
all
jingles?
We care about, he may have given up on that.
Idiot.
He may have.
That's a multi-million dollar idea right there. It's just sitting there in his lap. Stupid.
He's leaving a lot of money on the table with that one.
Yes. But he has created, you know, Survivor and Shark Tank and The Voice and stuff like that.
There's that.
He's had a few hits. He is working on a new hip-hop talent show for MTV, set in a recording studio. Anyone?
Yep.
Anyone?
Yeah.
Allie's going to enter, I think. She's going to be one of the competitors.
She better.
Yeah. Do it.
MTV president Sean Atkins spent some time telling the press yesterday of the network's plans, including that show with Mark Burnett. Also, here's a crazy idea. They want to bring music videos to MTV.
No. What?
Can you imagine?
Why?
Imagine playing little songs, little video versions of songs on MTV.
It'll never work.
What will they do with their programming, their current programming?
Well, I think they're going to make maybe just blocks for it if you wanted to see.
Wow, that's on.
But what if I tune in MTV and Catfish isn't on, what do I do?
That's true. they're also going to be a new version of Unplugged, which is good news. I used to love those Unplugged specials.
Yeah, those are cool. Mm-hmm.
They get musicians and strip them down. You get to hear new versions of some of your favorite songs. And they will also have a new show called Acting Out, where comedians, both well-known and unknown, will have their best stand-up routines acted. acted out by performers.
Okay.
So they, you know, they go, so I'm there, I'm standing in line at the Starbucks. Instead of just that guy saying that, you'll see people actually doing it.
So it's drunk history, basically?
Drunk history for stand-up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Acting out.
Sounds bad.
It's completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
Unless they're hiring. Then give me a call, MTV. Today's celebrity birthdays. Machine Gun Kelly's 26 years old today. Actress Amber Heard turns 30. Chavo from System of a Down celebrates his 42nd birthday. John Waters, the legendary director, is 70. Favorite John Waters movie? Go.
E.T.
You're a miracle. Bean?
Hairspray.
Hairspray?
Yeah. Is it like E.T.?
We all loved E.T.,
it's
Kevin.
A movie.
Everyone loves E.T., but John Waters had nothing to do with that. Nothing. I don't think he's even seen it.
Agree to disagree, I guess.
No! That's no agree to disagree.
I mean, I guess that's what it is.
That's not what it is.
It's my answer.
Jack Nicholson, 79 years old today. I miss Jack. I wish he'd work again.
It was great to see him at the Lakers game on
Did
Kobe's last
game.
Did
you see his interview?
It was a great
interview.
So, Jack, really any thoughts on Kobe, his big career? Over the... No. No thoughts.
But he looked, you know, I just in my mind, I thought he was retired and old and just sitting around waiting to die. But he looked healthy and happy and fine,
no,
you
that's
know?
That's why he wins, because he retired before he was old and couldn't do anything. Right. He's still enjoying his life.
Yeah, it was great.
And Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Oh, why are we not best friends? Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Call me. Let's hang.
You didn't spend enough time in his yard waiting for him to come out.
I was
that's
never
why.
In his yard.
Well, it sounded like it the way you
said. That's creepy.
I was never in his yard. I would just
you
sometimes.
Circle. You did circle.
I would. I would promenade up and down in front of his home while I walked my dog.
Right. Maybe but you in went the driveway a little bit?
Never in the driveway.
You went through
never
his trash a few
never
times, though,
on
right?
private property. Always just in the vicinity.
But you were smelling his male.
Never smelled a male. Never smelled his female. I just. I would just linger in the hopes that we would spark up a conversation.
Yeah. I'm sorry it didn't work out for you two.
JDM, you know where I am. He's 50 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz. Wake up, you need to make money.
Wow.
Thanks.
That's a different direction right there.
Thank you. Thank you so
all
much.
Right.
I'm making the money. See what I'm doing? I'm making the money.
Okay.
Just made some. Just made some money right there.
All right. We'll let you clean up. But before you go, how about Ralph Garman and the movie beat up here?
In a world, someone has been watching. One man. Who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Interesting little batch of flicks we have this weekend. Really a disparate grouping. All kinds of things for all kinds of people.
Good ones?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
For the most part, they do seem at least interesting.
All right.
And seemingly well done. For example, in limited release, we've got The Meddler. The Meddler.
The Meddler.
Which I was hoping was actually a lost villain from the 1960s Batman TV series, but no. Wouldn't that be great? There's a, I'm the Meddler. I'll just mess around in your life a little bit. Confuse you, Batman.
Get your business.
Yes.
That's it.
Ah, I've hidden Robin's driver's license. Now what can he do? I'm the Meddler.
The Riddler?
No, the Meddler. But it's not. It's about Susan Sarandon as an aging widow from New York City who follows her daughter to Los Angeles in hopes of starting a new life after her husband passes away. I don't think maybe the daughter necessarily wants to have mom back in
what?
Her life. Because I'm guessing she's a bit of a, wait for it, meddler.
Oh.
Here's some clips from the trailer.
You can't just leave someone with bonsai and orchid.
You let the orchid die too?
I think we should get you a hobby.
Or maybe you could be my hobby.
I have to go to New York for a few weeks.
New York?
I leave tomorrow.
Tomorrow? If I go with you, I could be like your assistant.
No.
You maybe need a ride?
I would kill my daughter if she died on a motorcycle.
Oh, it's in the motorcycle. This is a Harley Davidson. Two beautiful girls. The one that doesn't like me lives just over in Palm Springs.
I mean, it's not my business. But you have to call her.
It's not my business, but you have to call her. Susan Sarandon and J.K. Simmons. What could be better than the pairing of those two?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Rose Byrne plays the daughter and Gerard Carmichael also in the film.
All right.
It's a good batch. Tale of Tales. Oh, Tale of Tales. Yes.
The Tale of Tales.
The Tale of Tales.
Okay.
This is a fantasy fairy tale type movie that incorporates many of the fairy tales of Giambattista Basile, you know.
Sure.
You know Giambattista Basile?
Sure.
Third baseman for the Mets?
No. Oh. Gave us such stories as the two sisters who evoke the passions of the king. The king of high hills who's obsessed with a giant flea. Right?
You're just saying nonsense words now.
I don't know what's happening.
The quest of Queen of Long Trellis?
What?
Come on, you know what's happening. These stories.
You're just saying words.
Interesting batch of people involved in this project. Salma Hayek stars along with Vincent Cassell, Toby Jones, and John C. Reilly.
Wow.
Oh. Here's some clips from the trailer of Tale of Tales.
Could you just read the part where they kiss?
If I ever see you with him again, we'll both regret it.
I don't know what happened. When I woke up, I had changed my skin.
Before long, you will be old enough to be married.
Then find me a husband.
It was a mistake. My love, please.
You want a child? A violent desire such as yours can only be satisfied with violence.
You are all going to die tonight.
No, it's for kids. It's fairy tales. Come on, nobody's dying. Elvis and Nixon. Somebody's dying in this one. In fact, two guys are dying in this one. Not maybe in the film, but eventually.
Sure.
Elvis and Nixon, this is a fascinating story of the true meeting behind closed doors of the king of rock and roll and President Richard Milhouse Nixon. Elvis shows up at the White House because he would like to be an undercover secret DEA agent. He wants to flush out the drug culture, and he wants
just
to...
just ignoring the birds like they're not there?
Like a Disney movie.
What the hell's
What's
going on
happening?
There, Bean?
I'm just trying
to... Is that on my end?
Yes. No, no. We have birds in our studio.
It's on our end.
Holy crap.
I'll close the door after this.
Like
I'm
freaking
sorry.
Snow White.
I'm going to play a clip here. Why don't you stand up and go close the door during it?
It's a long way.
I tell you what, we'll give you a break. Just get the hell up right now and go do it, and we'll carry on.
All right, I'll go.
Jeez.
Okay.
It's like doing a show from an aviary.
Is that on my end?
Elvis and Nixon. Elvis shows up at the White House. He wants to be a DEA agent, a secret agent, because, you know, he can blend in because he's Elvis.
Sure.
What? And he meets with the president and they in the hopes of getting this badge and this gig. And they find out they've got more in common, perhaps, than they even knew. It's a weird, true story behind one of the most requested photographs in National Archive history. You've seen the photo of the two of them shaking hands together. It's very odd.
Very
Kevin
awkward.
Spacey is Nixon. Michael Shannon is the king. Alex Pettifer, Johnny Knoxville. Great cast. Here is Elvis and Nixon.
So you think we should meet with him?
Yes, Mr. President.
During my nap hour.
Everybody loves Elvis.
Call me.
He could really help us with the youth vote. He would also like a badge.
A what?
I would like to go undercover as a federal agent. I've been in 31 major motion pictures. That makes me an expert in costume and disguise. I could infiltrate the communists, and then I'd bust them all. Let's do this thing.
An undercover rock and roller sounds ludicrous.
I can supply my own firearm.
He can supply his own firearms!
I really enjoyed this movie, Ralph. The performances of those two guys are well worth seeing.
All right, there you go.
Plus, it involves the president, so Bean was already all in.
Absolutely.
And Elvis.
You kidding me?
And Elvis, yeah.
Bean watched this with his pants around his ankles.
Yeah.
I guarantee you. Mm-hmm. A hologram for the king. Quickly. This is the new Tom Hanks movie. How often do you see a Tom Hanks movie just kind of comes out under the radar?
Wow.
Yeah.
This is a smaller film about an American businessman trying to travel to Saudi Arabia and sell an idea that he has to a wealthy monarch. Alexander Black also stars in this film. Ben Whishaw, who I love, is in this movie as well. It's in limited release. At least it's opening that way. I'm sure it'll be released wider as more people find out about it. But here is some clips from the trailer of a movie called A Hologram for the King.
No, I'm in Saudi Arabia. We're pitching the three-dimensional holographic meeting system to the king.
Did you meet the guy?
No, but I met his associate.
Do you work for CIA or something?
Just a little freelancer work.
People don't like jokes like that.
I knew it as soon as I said it.
Yeah, that's where they do the executions. You want to go back and check out what's going on now?
No. No.
What do you think of this?
You and me, the big culture clash? We are separated by the thinnest filament.
Well, that's the way I think.
That's the way it is.
That's Sarita Chonhuri there, who's just beautiful in that film. So.
That Tom Hanks is a good actor, by the way.
Really? You think?
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you, Bean, for that input.
You keep making outlandish, bold stands, Bean. You're going to run afoul of public opinion.
I stand by it.
And lastly, The Huntsman, Winter's War. Two sisters, both queens. One smoking hot. The other one icy cold. Together they battle for power and the kingdom and the people of Hot Coldia.
Of what?
Coldia.
I'm pretty sure the kingdom's called Hot Coldia. Oh. I think one side's really hot, the other one's really cold.
Okay, all right.
I'm not sure exactly what this movie's about, but it's got Charlize Theron in. That's all you need to know, goddammit. And it's got Emily Blunt, Jessica Chastain. It's chock filled with beautiful, talented ladies. Chris Hemsworth's in there for the ladies, a little eye candy for the ladies. Two rival queen sisters battling each other for the kingdom. One has the power to freeze stuff. It's kind of like Frozen, but with Snow White's evil stepmother thrown in to the mix.
Oh, it's animated?
No!
Oh.
The Huntsman. Remember The Huntsman?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's, I think maybe somebody needs a day off. And Allie's not best served being with us here in the studio today. She seems like she's struggling. Here is a clip from The Huntsman, Winter's War, where the two sisters are confronting each other. Charlize Theron, Emily Blunt. Go, girls!
How did you draw the weakness out? What did you do? What did you do? I don't have to tell you anything. Oh, but you do. You see, you said it yourself. You're something between this world and the mirror. I summoned you out. Now you are bound to me.
You are all going to die tonight.
A lot of whispering.
A lot of whispering.
Yeah.
Why did you do that? I don't have to tell you.
In a library?
The whole movie takes place in a library.
Yes, why are they so quiet?
Right. If you enjoyed The Huntsman, the first one, you will like this. Charlize Theron reprises her role as the evil queen, and now she's got a sister to battle up against who can make things cold.
And where
Queen
do they live
Frigidaire
again?
Frigidaire is her name.
Where do they live again?
Hot Coldia.
Hot Coldia.
Hope the meddler doesn't show up to be too complicated.
Oh, the meddler would ruin that.
I've hidden your slippers, my queen, for I'm the meddler.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Kevin, your level of interest in following the controversy over the change in the U.S. currency. Who's on the bills? Who's off the bills?
What is the least amount possible?
I have been fascinated with this.
Right.
You know, Andrew Jackson, America's seventh president,
right,
is a guy that has been a complicated figure in history for 200 years because he did a lot of good things as president. And of course, he was a very famous war hero before that. But then also while he was president, he was also a slave trader, by the way, which doesn't sit well with a lot of people. He bought and sold humans. But also he decimated the American Indians in this country.
Right.
Just thousands of them. Just mowed them down. Just gimme. So a lot of people are saying, hey, you know what? Maybe Andrew Jackson, not so much on the money. Let's put Harriet Tubman on, who was a great woman who, at great personal risk to her safety and security, freed hundreds of slaves via the Underground Railroad.
I'm
maybe it's time
that.
To honor Miss Harriet Tubman.
I'm fine with that. Let's do it.
Not everybody agrees with that decision. There's been a lot of people online who are saying you shouldn't do it. It's political correctness gone wrong. But a high-profile person you may have heard of seems to agree with that assessment. And that man's name is Donald Trump. So I think it's time.
Sorry.
For another Kevin Bean Trump date.
He's a guy you love to hate. It's time for the Trump date.
Sit down.
Donald Trump, the next president of the United States, who may himself one day be on U.S. currency, joins us back on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, Mr. Trump.
Absolutely should be on some currency, because who makes more currency than I do?
Well,
I am very, very rich.
Yes, you do have a lot of money. That is for
right.
Sure. Yes. So, Mr. Trump, Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill. What's your problem with that?
Unbelievable that this political correctness that is ruining our country now has to ruin our money as well. And, you know, I take it very seriously when it affects money, because I love money.
Yes.
And I have lots of it.
You have lots of it, right.
I have so much money. If you tried to eat my money, you would choke. That's what money I have.
Why would we try to eat your money?
It is the best money. It's the cleanest money. I often rub the money on my body.
Oh.
And I have a very intimate relationship with money, and it's fantastic.
Right.
It's the greatest thing there is.
Yeah.
So if you start changing money, it affects me deeply, especially if you're changing the great Andrew Jackson's money, and I love his money. He has some of the best money I've ever seen.
Look, we all enjoy $20 bills. We all want $20 bills. They're great to have, but they still spend like a 20 even if his face isn't on them.
But Jackson is a special, special man, and he needs to be appreciated. And to take him off the 20 is an insult. He was a man after my own heart. He said to the American Indians, go back where you came from.
Yes,
he tried
did.
To get rid of the American Indians, and he wanted to deport them and get them out of America
but the
and
problem,
bring,
yeah.
make America
yeah.
great again. See, he wanted to bring America back to the Americans.
Trump, they're from here. They were the original people.
They were here before we were. No, they were here before.
That's true.
They were here first. Why did they lose so badly?
Okay, but the white people were the immigrants in this case, okay? They're the ones who should have gone back to where they came
from. I'm not an immigrant. I was born in New York City.
Okay, but the point is, the Indians were here long before the white people were here in North America. That's just fact, and it's history.
And to add insult to injury, they want to put who? Harriet Tubman?
Harriet Tubman.
Bill?
Yes, yes.
Listen, I don't know much about Harriet Tubman, but I do know.
What?
Who is this woman?
This is not Harry S. Tubman. You're thinking of President Truman. This is Harriet Tubman.
This woman, by the way? Have you seen her?
Yes.
Couldn't she smile once in a while?
Oh, okay, for the love of God.
We're going to put a woman on some money. How about a smile, lady?
Yeah, she didn't have a lot to smile about as she was freeing slaves and being, a spy for the army.
Things are so hard for me. I'm Harriet Tubman.
Harriet Tubman.
Things were very hard for her, as a matter of fact. She had a very, very difficult life.
Why is she dressed up so much to the neck, and why is her dress so long? Showing a little leg never hurt.
Oh, wow. Love of all things.
I know this to be true.
Right, but
any woman should be on some money. Let's make her a hot woman. How about that?
Okay,
Kate Upton or my own lovely wife.
But
which
neither,
one? Melania, Melania, Marla, any of my wives.
Okay.
How about my daughter? Put my daughter on some money.
Dear,
okay.
There we
go. And I really rub money all over my body.
Oh,
and
man.
It was fantastic.
Makes us uncomfortable.
This is what they wore back in the 1860s. It was a very difficult time.
That's a stupid, stupid time.
Okay. And you still think you should be president, right? I just want to make sure we're all on this.
I should be president, and Harry S. Tubman should smile once in a while.
All right, it's a good takeaway from today.
He's a guy you love to hate. That was the Trump Day.
Sit down.
Hey!
See, again, that was pretty good.
That was a sweet-ass hey.
That worked, sure.
Wow, we got to get on the same page, though.
Hey, play some more Prince for you coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Then we're going to talk to Dax Holt in the newsroom at TMZ.com. They continue to lead the world on coverage of this story, including, and we'll talk to Dax about this, including Prince visiting the pharmacy near his house 4 times in the last week before he died.
Yeah.
Which is troubling and scary. And as you mentioned earlier, Ralph, I guess the autopsy's later on today, so we'll have a lot of our questions answered. But
the autopsy today, but then tox screen results and things like that don't come back sometimes.
Months. It takes
months.
A while.
Yeah.
At least weeks. So we won't have any answers for a long time. But the circumstantial evidence seems to point to that he was battling some sort of drug issue. So.
Yeah, makes me so sad. Anyway, we'll catch up with Dax, and we'll also have time for your phone calls on how you're feeling in a world without Prince. Coming up first, though, with the other showbiz beat news, here's Ralph Graham.
You say it's a world that's so cold?
Oh, dear.
Sure. I mean one could say that, but should one?
One should not.
If not now, when should one say it?
One might... Should never say it. Maybe that's
really?
The answer.
That's
never.
How many different people, Ralph, yesterday did you see on social media saying some variation of, so this is what it sounds like when doves cry?
Yeah.
It was very popular.
It was very popular. I tweeted out the opening strains of Let's Get Crazy, which is Dearly Beloved, We Are Gathered Here Today.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through my Twitter feed, I immediately regretted that because 4 billion other people did the exact same thing.
Oh, is that right?
And I said, oh, now I look like a bandwagoner. But I didn't know. I didn't know at the time.
Right. It was very appropriate.
Yeah, but hardly original, turns out. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Speaking of music legends, Frank Zappa is a name that some of you may know. He is a very controversial figure in music. Some people love Zappa's stuff. They consider him a genius. Some people think he just was a self-indulgent douchebag who created a lot of noise. But whichever camp you're in, you can't deny he was an interesting fella. And certainly a story worth telling. They are making a documentary about him. Alex Winter from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. He right. is producing the documentary. And he went on Kickstarter to raise money for a documentary called Who the F is Frank Zappa? Well, it turns out a lot of people wanted that question answered because it is now the highest funded documentary film in Kickstarter's history.
Wow. Wow.
It ended up yesterday with a grand total of $1.2 million.
Wow.
In financing that was raised from over 8,500 backers.
Oh, man, sweet. I got to check it out.
Up until this point, the highest documentary ever was from, can you guess?
Documentary.
Yeah. You won't guess.
Okay.
It's then a film project from Bill Nye, the Science Guy.
Oh,
he had
we would not have guessed that.
Successful Kickstarter campaign for $860,000, but this crushed that. In movie news, good news. Looks like Robert Downey Jr. is close to sealing the deal to at least star in some small capacity in the upcoming Spider-Man Homecoming movie.
Woo!
We've got Spider-Man going over to Civil War, Captain America Civil War, and now it looks like Iron Man's going to come by and visit Spidey's neighborhood in his standalone movie.
All right.
We live in a magical time. We
sure do.
Where Spider-Man and Iron Man and Captain America are all hanging out together. The sad news about that Spider-Man movie, however, it looks like Michael Keaton, who was tapped to play the villain in that film, talks with him have fallen through, so it looks like that's not going to happen.
That's too bad.
He could have been the Vulture. He would have been an awesome Vulture. Right, Kevin?
Sure.
Because the Vulture's power, of course, as you know.
Eating dead people.
Nope. No, he could fly. He could fly like a Vulture.
Yeah, that was good.
Did he know the Meddler?
He did not know the Meddler. He was not connected to the Meddler in any way. And are you ready for the best TV show in the history of television?
Yes.
Peaky Blinders is back in May.
Nope. Are you familiar with a gentleman named Phil Hill?
No.
Phil Hill is better known as UFO Phil.
Okay.
And he has announced his new TV show, which will be a streaming video program that will help the people deal with the stress of having been forcibly taken to other planets by aliens.
Finally.
Yes, please.
Phil says...
quite something to check out.
It will be quite something to check out. Phil said he knows all too well the physical and emotional damage that bad aliens can do to people.
Oh, man.
When they kidnap them,
right.
Take them to their planets, and probe them. Mm. I want to use my own experience to reach out to others, he says. His show, titled Can You Keep a Secret, will be broadcast from an underground compound.
What?
So in.
Right?
Yes.
This has everything.
Yes.
How can you have a show called Can You Keep a Secret and then broadcast it on television?
Not sure. but UFO Phil's past exploits have included trying to build full-size stone pyramids on top of Pike's Peak, Alcatraz Island, and behind the Hollywood sign.
He believes
somehow stone pyramids are the key to our connection with extraterrestrials, so he's trying to get that up and running.
I'm all in.
To varying degrees of success. But
what network is going to air?
Well, it's going to be a streaming
UFO
video
Phil.
Program,
okay.
So I'm guessing it'll be on Phil's own website or another website. But I will keep you up to date as we maybe we can get UFO Phil on the horn.
We need Please. To because I just Googled him and he looks exactly like you would think UFO Phil looks like.
Maybe we can hear his plans for this show. But I would like to also. I mean, it's nice that he wants to. He's like the Dr. Phil. He's Dr. UFO Phil of people who have been kidnapped by aliens. He's out there to help.
That's pretty good.
Which is great. And I would like to hear all.
I'm totally psyched. What's going on with that?
I would like to hear all of their stories all the time.
Finally, somebody is giving a voice to the people that everybody else just doesn't want to hear from anymore.
Right.
Everybody else is like, sit down. And this UFO Phil is saying, tell us your story.
He's saying, stand up.
Stand
yeah.
up, right.
Right?
Oh, my God. He
lives here in L.A.
Yes, he does.
I think we need to get a hold of him.
I think we need to put him on this show. I think he needs to be a new newsman is what he needs to be.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And we don't even have one.
We don't have one, but I want one, and I want it for the UFO Phil to give us the update. Because his news is stuff that you really need to cover that no one else is covering.
It's true.
Oh, traffic. Oh, weather. No. Probing.
Right? Yep.
Anal probes and kidnapping and planets.
Don't get that on the lamestream media.
Right? Today's celebrity birthdays, Machine Gun Kelly's 26 years old today. He's the one from K-Earth, right? Is he the guy with the hat?
No, this is the rapper, I think.
Oh.
Different guy.
Oh, I thought he looked bad for 26.
Hey, everybody, I'm Machine Gun Kelly. Isn't that that guy? Doesn't he got the smoky bear hat and he collects money for MDA?
Yeah, same name, different guy.
Actually, it's not the same name. That's Shotgun.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Shotgun Tom Kelly. Not Machine Gun Kelly at all.
But I think there was a DJ named Machine Gun Kelly as well.
Wrong.
Okay.
Amber Heard is 30 years old today.
Oh, I'd like to write her a birthday card that's about 800 pages long.
Chavo from System of a Down's 42. John Waters, legendary director, gave us, of course, Hairspray, probably most famously, but also...
Crybaby.
Crybaby, yeah. But what was the real scary one? Pink
Flamingos.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. Gave us Divinyl. God bless him. 70 years old today. Jack Nicholson, 79. And dreamy actor Jeffrey Dean Morgan celebrates his 50th birthday. Now he's Negan over there on The Walking Dead.
With he's his naked?
Baseball bat. Negan.
Oh.
With his baseball bat of... Lucille? Is that her name?
His baseball bat of Lucille.
His baseball bat of Lucille. Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Amongst all the talk about the death of the music legend Prince yesterday, there was one article that stood out in my mind, which was from Slate. And it's called America, It's Time to Trust TMZ. There were still people online after TMZ.com broke the story about Prince's death yesterday who were like, yeah, but it's TMZ. You don't know. And at this point, after the Donald Sterling story and the Heath Ledger story and the Chris Brown story and the Michael Jackson story and the on and on and on, hasn't TMZ become the most reliable news source in America these days, you guys?
I would say so.
I mean, yep. Dax, I can't imagine what it was like, what the last 24 hours have been like for you guys in the newsroom. Just insane, I bet.
Completely insane. I got to tell you guys a story of right when that news broke. You know, have you guys ever been to the over here to the studio,
yes.
Seen our newsroom, how mm-hmm. it's crazy. People are always running around yelling. It's, you know, a crazy newsroom. Right after this news broke, it was dead silent in here. And I don't know if it was like that for you guys, but, like, it took people – like a couple minutes to really let this sink in, to realize the news that we had just broken. You know, this was a big, big deal, and I feel like everyone had a connection to Prince, and everyone was very, very sad about this story.
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, Allie, tell Dax how the story was broken on our show.
Ralph was in the middle of his showbiz beat, and I glanced over at my Twitter feed, and within 1 second, I saw the TMZ tweet. And in the middle of Ralph's showbiz, I literally gasped on the air.
And so unprofessional.
It was unprofessional. And they were like, what is wrong with you? And I said, TMZ is reporting that Prince has died. And I mean, I like just reading it. I'm like, this can't be. It's got to be like, someone else.
Like you don't want to believe it.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah.
It's so out of left field.
Is yeah. part of that because none of us knew he had issues in... You know, didn't see it coming.
Well, he seemed appeared to be until this last week with the story that you guys and we'll get into that. The story with his illness mid-flight, he looked like the healthiest guy in the world. The guy who could go out there and do 4 hours on stage every night like a maniac did not look like a guy who was having any health problems. So that's why it really blindsided me.
Right. No, and on top of it, he was very reclusive, so you didn't see him out a lot unless he wanted to be seen. Mm-hmm. So you don't know a lot about his life unless he wants to put it out there. And, you know, he seemed like a healthy person, seemed like someone that was always out on stage and performing. And, yeah, like that emergency landing last Friday, that was kind of out of the blue. We were kind of shocked by that. But, you know, after the whole incident, we kind of badgered his people, and they just said, oh, flu-like symptoms. No
hey, Dax, explain that situation last Friday for people who don't.
So he was leaving Atlanta. He had a concert in Atlanta, got on a private jet, was flying home to Minneapolis, and they had to ground the plane in Illinois and rush him into the hospital. And after 3 hours, they discharged him, let him go. Something didn't seem right about this. Well, we kept questioning his people. They said, oh, he just had the flu, no big deal, all good. Well, we have talked to multiple people over there, and everyone is telling us he was treated for a drug overdose. And they took him into the hospital. I guess he was given a save shot, which is typically administered to counteract the effects of an opiate, but opiates obviously come many, many, many different forms, so I can't tell you what was in his body at the time. But the docs urged him to stay for 24 hours so they could keep an eye on him. but could not provide him with a private room at the hospital. So his people said, nope, we are out of here. Put him back on a plane after 3 hours and took him home.
And one of the things that looked sort of suspicious is the flight was only another 45 minutes or something.
Yeah,
right?
it was very short to get to his house. So it just seems like if it was a flu, you could
wait that out
through, yeah, you know, another 45 minutes to get home. That's what was weird to us. And I can tell you that from multiple sources, they said he was not doing well when he left the hospital at that point. However, got up on stage the next night at Paisley Park. There was a dance night. Got in front of a crowd, said, hey, I'm all good. Save your prayers for another day. Unfortunately, that other day came about 5 days later.
And by the way, also on Saturday, and this was confusing for me as you try to put the pieces together, he was out riding his bicycle. He went down to Record Store Day and bought some Stevie Wonder records. And
riding his bike.
Yeah.
But the other weird thing that we got yesterday was these photos of him at Walgreens. And it was 7 p.m. the night before he passed away.
Yeah.
He was at this Walgreens, and I guess he was like a regular there. He had gone to this Walgreens for years and years and years. However, over the last week, he was there 4 times. And then people inside said they knew him, they've seen him all the time. He was different. He looked very frail, looked very nervous. They said something was just off with him.
So he wasn't going in. He was going to the Walgreens and then standing around in the parking lot while somebody else went in. And we're assuming that was to get some kind of.
We don't know. I don't want to speculate too much because I don't know what he was picking up.
Right.
But he was hanging out at this Walgreens 4 times over the last week, which I think kind of throws up a red flag a little bit.
It really does. We're on the line with Dax Holt from the TMZ newsroom right now. You know, when we came on this morning at 5:30, we were talking about how tragically sad this is and what a great loss it is for us as music fans. But if he died of a drug overdose, it really kind of puts so much of what we thought we knew about Prince into disarray, because he has always famously been a guy who didn't do drugs and didn't drink and didn't drink caffeine, if I remember correctly. I mean, a pretty serious, hardcore Jehovah's Witness who looked at his body like a temple. So this is really coming out of left field for us, Dax.
Yeah, and I think the big thing is now, you know, they're starting the autopsy this morning. So maybe we'll get some answers from that. But the bigger question will be when the toxicology results come out. And those generally take like 4 to 6 weeks. So that might be a while before we get any, you know, true results of what was in his body at the time.
And he was by himself when they found his body in an elevator, right?
He was in an elevator. I know there were people definitely inside the compound with him and called 911 right away. But by the time the paramedics got there, they tried to do CPR, were not able to resuscitate him, and basically called the coroner out.
Gotcha. 56 years old. So sad. And
57.
57, sorry. By the way, it goes without saying, great work, all of you who work so hard over there at TMZ to bring this accurate news to us up to the minute. You guys really outdid yourselves, and I know you'll continue to stay on this story, and we will definitely be watching to see what happens next, Dax.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
I appreciate
Thanks, man.
It.
Have a good day. Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye. All right. You've been hearing a lot from us today about our thoughts. Now I think it's time to turn it over to you guys. I think it's time to include some phone calls on Prince. I mean, I don't know anybody my age or younger who wasn't a Prince fan, who wasn't affected by Prince. Millions of people loved this man, saw this man. Allie, you were saying earlier today, greatest concert performer you ever saw in your life?
Absolutely. And I had mentioned I went to a lot of his 21-night stand at the Forum shows, like a lot, to the point where my friends were like, let us know when you're not at the Forum.
Eight of them.
A lot.
Right.
Eight. And every show was different. And every show you felt like he was up there, like it was going to be his last show. He wanted to give you everything he had. And he did.
I know that next hour we're going to talk to Kat Corbett, who had a very personal story of being invited to and going to Prince's house and meeting him. If we have anybody out there who ever met Prince, I'd love to hear from you. Or if you just saw him and loved him, or if his music played a significant part in your life, if there's anything you want to share with the way you're feeling today, I mean, we're kind of all going through this together. We'd love to hear from you. You can call right now. We'll put you on the air. 1-800-520-1067. Your memories and thoughts about the loss of Prince. Next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That is Chris Cornell with Nothing Compares to You. Just after we started playing that, Bean said, why didn't you mention that Prince wrote it? And I said, I assumed people knew that.
I hope they do.
I guess not.
I hope they do. Prince wrote that song in a band called The Family, recorded it first. And, of course, Sinead O'Connor had the big number one song with it. But, you know, Allie, you were just talking about how many songs Prince wrote. This guy was so prolific.
Oh.
He's a guy who had I don't know, close to 40 albums on his own. But then this long list of other songs that he didn't perform or didn't record that he wrote for other artists, like Jungle Love by The Time.
Manic Monday, the Bangles.
Hits for Sheila E. and Sheena Easton. And he even wrote a song for Kenny Rogers. Did you know that, Kevin?
No, I did not. Was it
How's
The Gambler?
Would that be something if he wrote The Gambler? Anyway, an unbelievable artist we will we'll all miss. And we're taking your calls right now for a couple of segments at 1-800-520-1067. We've been talking so much about how much we love and miss Prince. We want to hear your stories. And I think we should start with Devorah. She's in Whittier, and she's up first on line one, please.
Hey, Devorah.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
You're trying to make me cry with that last song, huh?
No, not at all. We're just all, you know, we're all kind of going through this together. And I understand you have a story about Prince.
Yeah, I'm from New York. And back in my early days in the late 80s, I was in a modern dance company. My friends and I used to go clubbing all the time. And at Nell's, which is a club in New York, I literally was dancing and bumped into somebody and turned around and put my arm out and apologized, and it was Prince.
No kidding.
And he had, this is the coolest, he had three bodyguards that were women with breastplates. They dressed like Xena Warrior Princess practically. It was very cool. And he like put his hand up so they stepped down, and he just said to me, "Dance." And we danced hard for about four or five songs. The man could dance. The man could dance.
He really could. Awesome. And when you met him in person, were you shocked at how tiny he was?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I'm not really tall. You know, I'm average. And mm-hmm. he was wearing, this is what I really remember, his boots. They were high-heel stiletto purple boots.
Wow.
And they were thigh-high.
See,
and,
I can't pull that look off, but boy can Prince.
No.
Nor should you try.
And the best part is he could dance in them. I mean, I don't think I could dance in those, but he could dance in them. And it was really, New York's the kind of place where you could bump into famous people and no one freaks out. You know, no one, like, gets all starstruck. So he was just having a good time with everybody else, and we danced together like, we were just two people. But I definitely felt the star quality of him right then and there. I was already a fan, so.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Gosh, we just danced hard, you know, and I miss him. I miss him dearly.
Thank you, Devorah. Great call. We really appreciate it. Let's talk to Pam. She's up next. Glendale, please. She's on line 7, taking your calls and memories and reminiscence about Prince at 1-800-520-1067. Good morning, Pam.
Morning. So I heard Delirious on the radio when I was 8. And have been a fan since then. I saw him first, the Purple Rain tour, when I was 10, and I saw him live 18 times since then.
Wow,
you have
crazy.
Terrific parents. If they took you as a 10-year-old to see that
no
is
kidding.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, there were a lot of lyrics, and I was thinking about this when you said you were 8. There were a lot of lyrics on Purple Rain that maybe weren't appropriate for an 8-year-old.
Well, I wasn't allowed to see the movie. They went to see the movie, and that was inappropriate, which probably is just the sex scene, because I was like 9 when that came out, but... I did see it on video, but that's back when the video took like a year and a half to come out.
Yeah,
on
right.
VHS,
yeah.
So
I gotta say though, when you see Prince live, he's one of those few people. Most bands are not as good as their CD, and mm-hmm. then some bands are pretty much as good. And there are few bands or people or artists that are way better than their CD. And he was one of them.
Absolutely.
Or if there's a song that you just like, you would love it if you saw it live. He was that kind of performer.
I took friends that didn't know. You know, only knew the Purple Rain stuff and took them to the shows at the Forum a few years ago. And he's just amazing. Him live, like, I'm going to start crying. It kills me that I'm not going to see him again. I was waiting for the Piano and a Microphone tour to get out here because, of course, we're all going to go. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm glad you called, and thank you for sharing your story with us. I appreciate it. You know, my wife flew down for that stand at the Forum that you were at, Allie, and she was there that night that he did over 4 hours.
Oh,
and,
yeah, he did.
And played 60 songs.
Yep. Yeah, he did everything from, you know, maybe a short 3-hour set with 4 encores, too. I mean, it was unreal. And you didn't know at the time who was going to be opening for him. So I went to most of them to see the opener as well. And I remember one of the first shows I went to, Chaka Khan, was the opener. And my friend was running late. And she's like, who's the opener going to be? I'm like, rumor is it's Chaka Khan. She's like, no! it was everything about those shows was magic.
It was magical,
and I believe he's part of why the Forum really came back, because of those shows.
Donna was telling me last night, we were talking about that show because she loved it. It was the greatest concert she ever saw. She said that Prince came out at the beginning of the show and he said, everybody stand up and stay. If I'm standing up, you're standing up. If I'm dancing, you're dancing. And don't take my picture. I already know what I look like.
Oh, yeah. There was a strict policy.
I thought that was an awesome line.
Yeah.
All right. Let's say we got some great calls here, Kevin. Can we carry these over?
Sure.
All right. And if you want to weigh in on your thoughts and memories and feelings and reminiscences, we're talking about Prince here this morning on the Kevin Meech. We'd love to hear from you as well. 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Texting in from the 775 area code in Reno, Nevada. At every family party, we would always play Prince. We'd love to dance to Prince's music. It would always get the party started. Hearing the news yesterday broke our hearts, and it felt like the party ended. Thank you, Alex, for weighing in on that. Kelly writes in on the Kevin Bean Twitter account, I love what L.A. Reid said about Prince this morning. He could wear high heels, yet still steal your girl. That is true. And we got some callers on the line, but look who just walked in, our friend Carson Daly from down the hall at Amp Radio. Hey, Carson,
hey,
how are you, buddy?
It's about time we start playing some Prince.
Right? Finally.
Fairweather fans.
Carson, you've been a part of the music industry for a lot of years. I'm sure you and your MTV days and your radio days, you and the Voice and everything else, you probably crossed paths with Prince, I would imagine.
I did cross paths with Prince. But I have to say, for me, when the video came out for 1999 and Wendy and Lisa were on the synthesizer in that video, and their hands were intertwined to each other, my pants exploded. That was my first. That was the sexuality that Prince offered on MTV at the time as a very young man that made me say, man, this guy's incredible. He has those two girls playing synthesizer. So I just wanted to open with that.
So story one is your pants exploded.
Yes, my pants exploded.
All right.
But I didn't have a lot of interaction, at TRL. Prince wasn't a huge fan of where popular music was headed. He said very publicly that the fact that it took him four albums to get on the cover of Rolling Stone, where it started to take artists, put out one album, all of a sudden you're on the cover of Rolling Stone. Artists were giving away their music, all that whole thing.
He sort of was in his own lane
for
his whole life.
Sure.
Yeah. His
for
whole
sure.
life.
Well, I think that's why he stayed in the Twin Cities and never moved to New York or L.A. That gave him the place to just kind of keep everybody at arm's length and continue to do whatever the hell he wanted to do.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Carson, because I was seeing so many tributes yesterday, and people who tried to pigeonhole Prince as a pop artist couldn't, as a rock artist couldn't.
Yeah.
He was a jazz artist. He was a punk artist. He did every kind of music and did all of it so flawlessly. And as Ali pointed out earlier, played all the instruments some of the times on those records. Incredible writer, one of the greatest guitar players of all time.
Yeah.
Produced all of his own
incredible
records.
Incredible voice.
The incredible singer, too. I mean, all of these skills in one tiny little body is just, it's a once-in-a-generation package.
It is. If you think about Prince, you think about Michael Jackson and Madonna, the three biggest stars of the 80s, what was the difference between them? First of all, there was the $100 million record deal from Warner. That went to Prince. But it was because he did it all. I mean, Michael needed Quincy Jones. There'd be no Michael without Quincy. Madonna at that point was really just breaking barriers for females in music, doing dance music out of New York. It was nobody came close to Prince.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Nobody. And by the way, Warner at one point they told him, "Could you slow down on the record? Really, you're putting out
too much music, right?"
Where nowadays artists, the labels will call me and go, "Hey, buddy, you're missing your release date. Can we have that record?"
Yeah.
Prince, they were like, "Just slow down." Yeah. I assume once they go in there, and I don't know who's going to get the Prince estate, but when they go into the studio, I assume they're going to unearth
over 2,000 songs. You guys, is what I've been told.
Is that right?
In the Prince and
a song
that
a day,
haven't been released,
Being? Uh-huh. Yes, over 2,000 unreleased songs.
Wow. He wrote Manic Monday for the Bengals. I mean, it's insane.
Carson, let me ask you this. I know that Prince was disappointed in the last few years of his life that his newer music wasn't played on the radio. Mm. Why do you think that was?
I think because radio sucks.
Thanks for stopping by.
Well, no. I mean, I think that's been that's an issue for a lot of – there's been a big, separation. I mean, that's why things like Coachella are so celebrated. And I mean, there's not popular radio, and I'm just as guilty. It is what it is. It's become very small. Playlists are very, very myopic now.
Very current.
It's very current. And but he influenced everybody. And I don't know, when he came into TRL, the one time, what I remember about it was that it was an hour-long show, TRL, every afternoon. You knew it was on 3 to 4. And he was supposed to come in, and he showed up, like, with 5 minutes left in the show. And they kind of pushed him out there. He didn't seem too thrilled to be there with all the screaming teenagers and everything.
Right.
It was like, as people said, listen, just do this. Mm-hmm. This is a big show. And he was nice, but it was like, we're off the air. We had, like, a two-minute interview. And we all were like, where were you? What happened? And his answer was just like, I don't wear a watch. I don't believe in time. And that was it. I mean, a lot of your callers were on hold here probably right. saw him in Long Beach or somewhere in the area. And the odds are they probably waited 4 hours. I mean, Prince
yeah,
did everything.
Yeah, I've seen him a bunch, and I waited a long time for
yeah,
him.
That
sometimes.
Was him, though. He
didn't
played
believe
by his
in
own
time.
Rules.
Yep. He's the only person that I know could say that, and you go, yeah.
Except for Morris Day and the time. You believe
in I made that joke earlier, you and didn't? They got mad at me.
Yeah, they Why? Should have, because now, it's a terrible joke.
See?
It went over about as well, would she tried it out.
Well, it really. Let's just take one call with you right. here, Carson. Let's talk to Alex. I'm sorry for everybody else, but we just ran out of time. He's on line 8. He's in Hollywood. He's got a thought as to kind of sum up how we're all feeling here today. Alex, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. You're on with Carson Daly, too. What's up?
Oh, hi, Kevin Bean, Carson, Allie.
Hi.
Hey, Alex.
I wanted to preface it with a question you had asked like a couple months ago and what Nicole Alvarez just posted about.
Which
about
was?
How we mourn people, about how we mourn people who we haven't met.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to say, like, it's because they affected us in a way or in some way, because that's how art works. It's because it reminds us back of to what we of a memory that we share or something. So, I mean, my story was that passed away in February. So what we used to have over our fireplace was a picture of Prince holding the rose with his... I guess, blouse open.
Hmm.
And then we used to, like, that was in the center of our fireplace, so, like, where you'd normally put someone, like, a religious figure or something. We had wow. Prince over there.
So he and was just, he was a really important part of your life with your family, and that's yeah, why it hurts yeah. so much today. It's not, it goes far beyond just, oh, I used to like his songs on the radio, or he gave me a good night at a concert. He was part of the fabric of your existence for a number of years.
Right, it's very formative for me. So even though I've never met him, he still affected me.
It's yeah, that makes a lot
makes
of
sense. Yeah.
All right, Alex, thanks so much for the call. I don't know how many more of these kinds of giants still walk the earth, Carson, but I feel like we're losing them at an alarming rate.
Well, the sad thing now, and unfortunately, I mean, at least we had 24 hours of all the positivity around Prince, but as they're starting to report, I mean, it never made any real sense that private jet after that Atlanta show touched down in Moline, Illinois, middle of the night. I mean, he must have been in really bad shape for that yeah. plane to touch down.
Yeah.
And the reports coming out that he was given a save shot and you know, right. for the open, all that. And I hope it doesn't go back to that place of drugs. Of course, we'll find out later. Maybe it wasn't the case. It's early to tell. But he always went back to the Twin Cities. You know, he always did. Almost like Andre Agassi in tennis. He used to famously fly his private jet after a match back to Vegas. Prince always went home, and the fact that he didn't fly another 48 minutes and land at home really, I think, speaks to
how grave
he was
yeah.
his situation
something
was.
Something was wrong.
Yeah, the latest TMZ report, by the way, is that it was Percocet that he had overdosed on that required that save shot. Percocet was
is that what they're saying? Which is interesting because a lot of people, real Prince fans, were noting recently he had a hip issue
yeah.
and a back issue
right.
that he was performing in flats, which was like something he
oh,
never
would
did.
Do. He could have been in so much pain and just taking that to get through it. We don't know any of this, but it's just it's everything that we thought we knew about mm-hmm. Prince. When that came out, we were like, oh, we didn't think he had any problems. He's
right.
Prince.
Yeah,
because
he seemed like the healthiest man
so
in the world.
Sad.
Yeah, he did.
Exactly.
He looked great. I mean,
yeah.
Well, Carson, we know you got to run back down yeah. the hall to your own much more highly rated radio show, but thank you for slumming it up with the Kevin Bean Show. We enjoyed
thanks,
it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
bye-bye.
It.
It is 7:54. Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Friday morning. What's happening, Ralph?
More sad details coming to light surrounding Prince's final days before his death. As I mentioned earlier in the showbiz beat, there was a report that that emergency landing his plane made into Moline, Illinois, regarding his health when he went to the hospital, that his team then played off as the flu, that he needed rehydration and to deal with some flu-like symptoms. It turns out that we found out that was an intervention, actually, for what they were saying was a potentially deadly overdose that he was experiencing. And they gave, according to TMZ and Variety, what's called a safe shot, which is supposed to, as you can imagine by the name, save the person suffering from the overdose, save their lives. And now it looks like Percocet was the opiate that he had ingested so much of before they had to save his life at the airport where his plane made that emergency landing. And people said, you know, oh, it's so weird because I never thought Prince had was a drug kind of guy and it didn't seem like that kind of guy. It's not necessarily how it works because we're learning more and more. He had surgery in 2010, corrective surgery for a hip problem that he was having. And apparently since that surgery, he was undergoing significant pain from that hip problem. And I'm sure at the time he was probably prescribed a pain reliever at the time. And if the pain was bad enough, they would use a pain reliever like Percocet or oxycodone, which Percocet has an element of. And it's such a slippery slope. It's so easy to take those for a real problem, for a real medical issue when you have pain, and then become dependent on that and just go down that path. And it looks like, at least from the details we're getting now, that may be what happened with Prince. TMZ also reported that he went to his local Walgreens four times in the week leading up to his death. And they speculate he was renewing his prescription for Percocet over and over again, which sounds to me like he had one of those doctors who just sort of...
One or more.
Mm-hmm. One or more. Yeah. You let me know and I'll just refill it, which of course is very dangerous. So.
And it's not like Prince is just standing on stage singing. That man
no,
is...
he moves. He's an movement. Athlete, you know?
Absolutely.
So, again, just worse and worse the story gets. And, you know, if Dr. Drew hadn't quit broadcasting, we probably could talk to him about this.
Because right. Just Colin,
he knows a lot about these kind of situations where someone takes a pain reliever for a legitimate reason and then quickly that can spiral into an addiction situation. But sadly,
he doesn't care about his patients or the people anymore.
He
Ralph.
Doesn't care about the audience or or anyone that's sick.
No, he's a quitter.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just calling it quits on Loveline.
That's alleged.
Yeah, but he's still a doctor, still has his other 18 jobs.
Not now, not ever.
Nope.
I think so.
He's quit.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Selena Gomez has been banned from China. Finally. So tired of seeing Selena Gomez all over China on their money and those big banners they hang from the government building.
Why has she been banned?
What?
It's dumb.
Oh.
She took a photo in 2014 with the Dalai Lama. Well, you can't do that, because that would upset the world of China.
Wait, are you not allowed to photograph the Dalai Lama?
No, you can't be photographed with the Dalai Lama and still be considered a friend of China. Being
Oh, I see. Because they hate the Dalai Lama because he's Tibet
he's,
guy.
He's
okay,
pro Tibet. He wants Tibet
right.
A separate entity and not be under the rule of Chinese government.
So they interpret that as her being anti-China.
Right.
Yeah. Gotcha.
You can't take a photo with someone and then go perform in that country.
Well, I feel like you could.
No, Kevin, I'm looking at the story. Okay. You can't, apparently.
My bad.
Her upcoming concert dates there have been canceled. Ah, there are four Chinese children who are so upset right now. Chinese government officials really hate when you take your picture with the Dalai Lama.
Seems like a bit of an overreaction. A bit.
You know, it's not the first time it's happened. Bon Jovi. They were banned from even entering China for the same reason. And Maroon 5. Also was recently banned from China because of their photograph they took with the Dalai Lama. But, you know, I feel bad for Maroon 5. Can we try to make them feel better?
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Yeah, let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Hope
right?
Felt that.
Hope the Dalai Lama gave them some love. You know, Bean's wife had peanuts with the Dalai Lama.
Had what?
I think it was gummy bears, I think.
Whatever. A snack.
They sat together at an airport.
Mad Libs?
No. They sat together at an airport waiting for a plane and had gummy bears together.
You didn't know the story, Ellie?
I feel like the Dalai Lama shouldn't be sitting at an airport.
He is the most guy to be sitting at the airport.
He is?
No!
Yes. He's like the ultimate man of the people. No, he's like the guy down there with everybody just rolling around in the world there.
What do you want him in? The Alaska Airlines first class lounge?
Sipping a cocktail?
You want him in the cockpit? You want him flying?
I would think he would have his own plane.
So do I. Llama Air.
Like Ralph said, he's about the poor.
Oh, he's all about the peeps. He just wants to hang with the peeps.
Right.
I'm sure he liked Dalai.
Every time I go to the airport, I think I see the Dalai Lama. And then it's just some guy trying to hand me a card and give him some money. But I go, hey, are you the Dalai Lama? No. Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad.
That's not really what you say, though, is it, Ralph? What do you really say when you see someone you think is the Dalai Lama?
I'm going to punch you right in the face,
good day to you, sir.
Nope.
Excellent.
Great
that's answer.
Right.
And I do a deep bow. Good day to you, sir.
Excellent.
Yes. Today's celebrity birthdays. the man, the myth, the legend, Jack. Very few performers can be known by one name. Prince, of course, was one of them, but also Jack.
Yeah, Jack White, great great guitarist, great performer. Yeah.
No, Jack.
Jack, different Jack. Jack.
We play what we want.
You see that we play what we want, Jack?
Yeah, that's who I'm talking about.
Jack Black?
Jack
I'm
Tripper?
I'm confused, I'm sorry.
Jack Tripper's not even a real person.
Jack Kerouac? Jack O'Lantern?
Jack Kerouac. Kevin, you're an English major. What was the name of that guy who wrote the On the Road, that famous book, On the Road?
Are you looking for a piece of tape? Because I don't have...
Oh, you don't have
I don't
that.
Think I have that one, no.
No, sadly.
It's me messing up that name.
Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson.
Oh, Nicholson.
Why did you say that? 79 years old today.
Jack in the Box.
John Waters is 70 years old. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, one of my favorite actors, is 50 years old. Chavo from System of a Down is 42. Amber Heard. Got that right. 30 years old. And rapper Machine Gun Kelly turns 26. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Monday morning, by this time, you will know who is playing this summer's K-Rock Weenie Roast.
Woo!
How about that? Got the announcement for Weenie Roast 2016 at 7:15 Monday morning right here on the world-famous K-Rock. Don't miss it.
Come on, Badfinger. Still hoping for Badfinger to show up.
Or worse thumb.
Or worse thumb.
Either one.
Just step into the void.
It is time for...
That's that info beam.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that we have time for
this. He has Asperger's and cannot tell if people are interested or not in what he's saying. We try to give him some feedback. We try to help. We try to make teachable moments.
Mm.
So during the songs, while you get to listen to music, we get to listen to Bean's thoughts.
Right.
Next you're time welcome.
Next time you're bitching about Red Hot Chili Peppers, think about what we're listening to, okay? It's not under the bridge. It's under the bean.
So I write down verbatim what Bean says. Now, the rules are don't respond to Bean when he says something out of the blue. Allie is very bad at that because
she's the worst.
It's a ridiculous policy to ignore your coworkers when they're having conversation with you.
There's not a conversation. This is just a one-way, say something.
A conversation if there was a little give and take. If I said something and then you said something, then now we're talking.
I'll give you a perfect example.
All right.
That's that info Bean.
Guys. I watched a 90-minute documentary on the band Kansas yesterday. See, now, where do you
that's
think
not a conversation
that's going to go?
Starter. That's a declaration.
Right.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to say to that? Oh, was it good?
That'd be fine. That'd be a great...
But I don't care about the band Kansas.
What did you learn about Kansas that you didn't already know?
What you learned. This is not a conversation.
Right. What was your favorite Kansas song? There's a lot of ways you can go with that.
Right, but we don't want to because it's a terrible conversation.
I'm saying that's a door opener and you're a door stopper.
That's that info bean.
What's a door stopper?
You know what I was thinking about? Which just begs, Allie's just dying over there, like, oh, I gotta say something because it's so.
And Chip's waving me off.
That's the tiger pit. There's the leaves over the big pit, and then there's those spikes underneath on the bottom where you just fall right through.
He wants someone to answer.
Don't do it.
No, but it's me
because it makes it so much worse for us.
I don't know.
You know what I was thinking about? Nothing. Lisa Marie Presley.
Here's the thing. No one says what? What were you thinking about? It doesn't matter.
Correct.
He just keeps going.
Lisa Marie Presley married both Nicolas Cage and Michael Jackson.
Nothing.
Because they're both weird guys. It would be weird to be married to one of them, let alone both. Nothing. Bean went. Taps the mic.
Look. A lot of times...
And Chip played...
good for her.
A lot of times weird things happen and then they're forgotten about. I think that's worth revisiting.
But
the fact that happened.
But here's the thing. We weren't having a conversation about weird relationships or...
Some people sure marry weirdos, don't they?
Hey, guys.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
I'm having trouble not buying the new Elvis box set. Nothing. It has 60 CDs in it. Nothing. Is that too much, Elvis? Nothing. I'm going to take that as a no.
That's
Scratch that info beam.
I'm looking for a little guidance on how I should spend my money, you guys. That's
we
all.
We don't care what do, you buy.
Do
buy,
I need 60 albums
that's
from Elvis?
That's a decision only you can make.
Sometimes
you and your pastor.
Sometimes he points it directly at somebody who he thinks will care. Hey, Dave the King of Mexico.
See?
I do not approve of Taylor Swift's hair on the cover of Vogue.
Oh.
Dave mumbled something and then Bean said, I love her. Look.
That's that info beam.
It's not out of the realm
that's
of,
that info beam.
Of normal
that's that info beam.
Office communication.
Okay.
I'll just sit down here.
You Thank have you. His phone number, don't you? You have Dave's phone number, right?
Well, yeah, but I
think
this is workplace chatter about
no,
things that
not,
are in the news.
Not work or place or chatter.
Okay, here's a good one. This is gold. Guys, what's your excitement level for peanut butter on celery?
That's that info beam.
And I'm sorry for adding to that.
What?
Allie, yes, of course. Allie responded. Is it smooth or chunky? I don't remember what
I
said.
I responded, are there raisins?
Oh, God.
And Bean said,
you.
No raisins.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it went on. I
think it's a delicious
That's
snack.
That info beam.
And I just wondered if it's something that you guys also enjoyed. That's all. That's reasonable.
I listened to the Oreo Speedwagon Christmas album over the weekend. Nothing. It was good.
Oh, son of a
Thanks for that info beam.
And the last one, there's a way of burning people. You're doing something that they really, really wish they were doing.
Right.
So
if you're at Coachella this weekend and you call your friends that aren't, you win. That's a burn.
You go, oh, I can't hear you. I'm watching Guns N' Roses at Coachella. That's a burn if they would want to be there watching.
Sure.
But it has to be a universal. It has to be something that they want to do.
Absolutely.
Like for me, Bean could say, I'm listening to new Rage Against the Machine music. I'm a huge fan. I didn't know they had new music.
Yeah.
That would kill me.
Right.
I'm enjoying a big bowl of mac and cheese right now.
Right.
Then you'd be charbroiled.
So here's Bean's version of that burn. He starts off by saying, I can't hear you. I'm looking at pictures of Lawrence Welk on the cover of TV Guide.
That's that info beam.
Which burns who?
I'm not sure. I can't hear you just because I'm looking at a magazine.
Does that burn the Lennon sisters?
Oh,
I'm
love
looking
them.
At pictures of Lawrence Welk on the cover of TV Guide. Is his burn.
Charbroil.
That's that info beam.
There were tributes from just about every famous person in the world yesterday about the loss of Prince. Everybody from President Obama to Aretha Franklin, from Frank Ocean to Justin Timberlake to Madonna. The list just goes on and on with people. We're going to talk to Kat Corbett here in studio in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, who, like all of us, was a big Prince fan. But she went to his house and got to meet him and hang out with him. And that story has a very surprise ending, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So we'll talk to Kat. That's coming up in just a few minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
First, let's talk about this 8-year-old boy. This kid's birthday bash looked more like a bachelor party. Apparently, there was a YouTube video that was up and then got taken down. And it was of a stripper shaking her booty for the boy, celebrating his, I'm going to say again, 8th birthday.
8.
And you're suggesting that is too young for a stripper at a birthday party? Or what's your angle on this?
One youngster is seen smacking the dancer's ass.
Here's my favorite.
Another 8-year-old was seen making it rain.
Yeah! Happening!
The Hillsborough County, Florida, naturally, by the way, Sheriff's Department is investigating right now because this video just appeared online and there are no identifying details as to when it was shot and where, so they are continuing to investigate. But as you can imagine, there's just so much outrage for people saying, you've got to find this mother. You've got to put her in jail. The stripper should be fined. It's disgusting. So they're researching the case. I don't know how our producer Dave does it, but apparently he has the little boy whose birthday party it was, and he was able to line up Danny McRae, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Danny, thanks a lot for coming on and talking to us.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
We're doing fine. So you are currently 8, and this was your most recent birthday party?
Oh, yeah. Woo!
Are you at school right now?
No.
So,
ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Dakota.
Dakota making her way to the stage.
Are Danny?
Are you DJing for a strip club?
Make sure you take care of her. She's working her way through sixth grade, everybody. So make sure you take care of her.
Oh, no.
There shouldn't be any strippers who are in sixth grade, Danny.
Well, that's when you say old man.
What's happening? Don't you have...
I had such a huge reaction from my birthday party that I've gone into business for myself, and I've opened up a strip club for kids.
That is a terrible idea, Danny.
It's a great idea. I'm so rich now.
Why don't you have...
I have a Maserati tricycle.
That's pretty rich.
That's how rich I am.
That's pretty strong.
Ladies and gentlemen, now making her way to stage number two, it's Rosie. Time to put the ring around the Rosie. Pocket full of crystal meth. All right.
Oh, wow. This, again, just seems very inappropriate.
I gotta let Rosie go. It's getting a little old.
How old is she?
She's going to turn 13.
And wow.
You know, my clientele likes them about our age.
Yeah, who's your clientele?
Yeah, other 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds.
Okay.
Kids having birthday parties.
Sure.
You know, celebrating their first Holy Communion, things like that.
Oh, Danny.
This place is a gold mine. I can't believe I didn't think of this sooner. I have the most successful business in this mini mall. You know the name of my place?
No. No.
Chucky Sleazes. Come on! That's brilliant.
That's a pretty good name.
Instead of $1 bills, you throw these little tickets at the girls. And they get to trade them in for prizes at the end of their shift.
Okay, it's kids would like that. Sure, right on.
But by prizes, I mean condoms and lubricant, Mo.
No, Danny.
Look.
My girls play safe.
Sure. I know that you don't want to hear this.
Table number five, your piece is ready. Your piece is ready, table number five.
He does it all.
Yeah, wow. He can't make money just with girls alone.
Wow. Yeah, you got to food and drink, right. Danny, I know you don't want to hear this from a grown-up, but this is not how an 8-year-old should be spending his time. This is really very, very potentially damaging to you down the road, son.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Is it damaging me?
Yes, you and your friends should not be slapping a stripper's ass and making it rain. You're 8.
You sound like the one like you don't have any pubes. Instead of me, because I'm 8.
Right, understood. Yes.
Why don't you grow a pair, son?
Okay, I feel like
that. What's playing with Legos?
Yes, playing with Legos. That's a much better idea for
I'd
you, Dan.
I'd rather spread the Legos than play with them.
Oh, my God.
Well, I gotta go. Somebody's causing trouble back in the Sunny D room. You can't touch in the Sunny D room.
Okay. Hey, Kat Corbett.
Hi, guys.
Sorry about yesterday. Right at the end of the Kevin and Bean show, Allie gasped. She's on TMZ.com and sees the terrible news about Prince. That was right when you were walking in the building, and it looked like you had seen a ghost.
Well, I didn't understand what was happening because I heard part of it, and you guys sounded shocked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it didn't sound like it was real.
Yeah.
Like you weren't, it hadn't been confirmed yet.
Well, you should always get a second source on anything you hear on the Kevin and Bean show anyway. That's for sure.
That's correct.
But no, I mean, look, especially in 2016, this has been a terrible year for people we love dying. And it started off wrong with David Bowie, and it went right to a couple weeks ago with Gary Shandling. It's just been one right after another. And every time one happens, you go, but this can't be true, right? This one's wrong. But it's true. But Prince is gone. And I know, like all of us, you were a huge fan of his. And it's just, I mean, you've had a little bit of time to process it. But how are you feeling about it now?
It sucks. I mean, it's really difficult to do a break on air and, you know, announce Prince is dead and come out of a Prince song, which is absolutely, you know, a masterful work, and then have to play like Sublime or something. And no disrespect to Sublime. But, you know, it's like that weird thing of how do you follow up Prince?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? Prince was one of a kind. And one of the reasons we wanted to talk to you about it is that you kind of had a night that is etched in your memory forever that involves Prince. And I know you've told us this story, but it's been a long time. But, you know, we were taking calls earlier today on people with their personal memories of seeing Prince. And you've got a great one.
And I think we've reposted it at krock.com. But I, you know, he had these legendary parties at his house. And I got a cryptic email inviting me to one of these parties. And I was like...
Now, was this in Minnesota?
No, it was here in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, my God. It's finally happened. You know? Timmy asked me to the prom. And so I ended up going to Prince's house, and he was there, and...
What was it like walking into that house?
Well, at first it was a little disappointing because I thought it was going to be all purple. Right. I really did. And it was just beige.
Yeah. Right.
What a letdown.
Right? I thought it'd be purple marble, not beige marble, you know? Like, I was like, eh, right. But he, you know, there were 30 of us, maybe even less. And
total?
Yes.
Really?
I'm not kidding you. I counted because when you're in a situation like that, you count. Like, you want to
of
know.
Of course.
And he gathered everybody in his party room in his basement, and he had the full band set up in his basement. And it wasn't like a big party room. It was like a normal family room. And he played for hours. Hours and hours, and he was playing. He was covering the Stones. He was covering the Jackson 5. He was covering the Doobie Brothers. I mean, he was playing. And then he would, you know, he would be a total tease. Like, he would start with Purple Rain, and we would all just be like, oh, my God! And then he would, like, look at us and be like, hey, and then go into, like, you know, a Bob Seger song or something. You're like,
why do you think, I know I'm calling for speculation here, but why did Prince love to perform in every venue, day or night? It didn't matter what the crowd was. What do you think that's about?
Well, I think it's just what made him unique and why it's so devastating. I mean, you guys know how many bands we see and records we listen to, and there are very few that set the bar so high, and he's one of them. Like, I think everything about him embodies music. He was one of my favorite guitar players. You forget what a great
guitar player
is.
Yeah.
So
he used to also perform at a concert for 3 hours,
right?
And then go to the after party and play for another 3 hours.
That's
insanity,
right?
Yes,
did
I don't
you
know.
Meet him at his house?
Yes,
were you allowed to look him in the eye?
Yes, but it was weird. Like, you know, so they took an intermission around like 1 a.m. because, you know, he already played for like 3 hours. So we're in his kitchen and he is walking around. I am not kidding you right now. He had like high heel sneakers with lights on the bottom. You know, like if you were running in them.
Right.
And he's walking around his kitchen with like an hors d'oeuvre tray.
He was handing out hors d'oeuvres?
And I seriously, I'm like standing there. And I was just like, hi. And he's like, hi. And I'm like, that's all I have. I couldn't say anything else. But he was walking around just kind of milling about his kitchen, you know.
Let me ask another question. Did he know anyone else of those 30 people? Or did he just invite, like, straight to him, you were a stranger?
Correct.
Was everybody?
I think,
We were all,
none of us knew each other. I ended up becoming friends with a photographer and writer from Rolling Stone, this great guy, Steve Appleford. And, but everybody else, like, nobody really knew each other. Like, you couldn't bring a friend. You couldn't take any pictures.
So random.
So it
were
was
you
like,
allowed to use the restroom?
You know what happened.
Yeah, tell the people, because I think they'll enjoy it.
All right, listen. So, you know, he was playing for a long time, and I had to use the loo. Bog, the jacks. I had to go, right?
Sure, right.
Just number one.
Mm-hmm.
So I go, you know, you go down the hallway. And by the way, you pass the pool table with the Prince symbol on the green of the pool table.
Nice.
How awesome
nice.
Is that? And you pass the Purple Rain motorcycle encased in glass.
Wow.
Right?
Wow, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I get to the bathroom, I do my business, and he's playing, and all of a sudden I hear the Jackson 5. I'm like, I want you back. I'm like, oh my God! You know, go to open the door, and the door doesn't open.
Yay!
Cat got locked
what?
In the bathroom at Prince's house.
Well, only for like a minute, right?
No.
How long, Cat?
To the point where I opened my cell phone and almost called 911. And I am not kidding you. But I'm not kidding you, I did.
What's your emergency? I'm in Prince's bathroom, and I can't get out, and he's playing Jackson 5.
That is exact. If you read the post I did at krock.com, I sound like a 13-year-old writing in her diary, but
that's
the
so
adrenaline,
great.
And I had no bars on my phone, so I couldn't even call.
Oh, no.
I'm banging on the door. Everybody's in the family room watching.
And he's playing, so no one can hear you.
No one can hear me scream. I was like Ripley in space. I was just alone.
How'd you get out?
I'm like doing everything. At one point I was convinced there was like a camera in the bathroom and they were going to, like, this is how he entertained himself, you know, later,
right.
Watching, you know, crazy people trying to get out of his bathroom. I tried to do a couple different maneuvers and then I was like, well, maybe, you know, the house settled or there was an earthquake and it shifted a little bit. So I lifted the handle I lifted the door
right.
with all my strength and it opened.
That's what it was. So it was just closed by because it was off, like off just a little bit.
Just a little bit off. Yeah. So I ran back.
How long were you in there?
Oh, yeah. It was a good 10 minutes.
But it felt like an eternity.
It felt like an hour. But I was locked in his bathroom. And,
but how wonderful that you had that. I mean, besides being a fan and going to the concerts and seeing the movies and buying the records, the fact that you had that, you got a chance to meet and spend an evening with Prince. You'll never forget that.
No. And, you know, I've seen him many times. You know, I'm sure lots of you guys went to those shows they did at the Forum. Memory did them for like, what, $20 the tickets? Yep. But I've got to see him many times. And I don't think there's a lot of, you know, bands play and they're, you know, they're having fun. But I mean, the pure joy every single time he played.
Yeah. One of a kind. I mean, really one of a kind. And what makes it so shocking is so young. And he's a guy who I felt like, and I felt this way about Bowie too, still had great music to come. And that's what even makes it harder is this isn't a guy who is 90 and had already done everything he was going to do. He's still a great performer and a great songwriter and a great entertainer. And I feel like we're being deprived of a lot of beauty that we're not going to see now because Prince is gone. Thank you, Kat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:53.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Friday morning. Ralph Garman joins us now. Time for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's new?
We're getting more details about Prince's last days, the week leading up to his death. We had talked earlier about how the fact that what was told to the press regarding Prince's emergency landing after his Atlanta concert in Moline, Illinois, was because he wasn't feeling well. He had flu-like symptoms, went to the hospital for some dehydration and flu. It turns out, we're finding out, that EMTs had to administer a save shot, which is the injection they use if someone is overdosing on opiates.
Does it reverse the effect?
Narcan, I think, is the actual drug. Yeah, it blocks, apparently, the effects of the opiates into the system. And that's what happened, really, when he made that emergency landing. And then he was supposed to go to the hospital. They wanted to hold him. He couldn't find a private room, so he rejected the idea and left hours later. But it was Percocet that he had taken after his Atlanta concert, and that's what triggered the emergency. Percocet, for those who don't know, is a painkiller. It's a combination of acetaminophen and oxycodone.
That's a good one.
It's highly addictive, and the speculation, at least, is that Prince was taking painkillers for a hip problem. He had corrective surgery for his hips around 2010, and now they're speculating that perhaps he was taking it as prescribed initially, and then, as happens so often, became addicted to the Percocet, and whether that contributed to his death or not, it remains to be seen. They're going to do the autopsy, and then it'll be weeks before we get the results back from the toxicology screen and things like that. But
I know we're all speculating here.
Yes.
But
yes.
There are people who have had hip surgeries that it hurts to walk from their house to their car. Can you imagine what Prince was putting his body through every night on stage?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes hip surgeries go well, and sometimes...
Right.
You're never the same again.
You're never the same, and it's worse even than the initial pain you had to be treated for. So, again, this is all just speculation, but pieces are starting to fall into place now, which makes it seem like perhaps he did have some sort of addiction issue with Percocet, if not perhaps other drugs. We have to wait and see what the toxicology report says. But regardless, it's a tragic story that just gets sadder and sadder when you think about the fact that maybe he was hooked on this the drug, and perhaps that caused his death, and he was unable to get the help that he needed to kick it. So it's bad stuff.
Drugs. We're all just people.
Drugs can suck.
Yeah.
There's a new superhero project for television. Finally, we're going to get a show on television about comic book superheroes.
Better be the Meddler.
The Meddler is not being turned into a series yet.
That's too bad.
But we are getting a Superman prequel called Krypton.
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 Wasn't
Krypton
Smallville already a Superman prequel?
Yes, Bean, but that's when after Kal-El landed on Earth in the rocket ship that Jor-El and Lara sent from Krypton before it exploded.
Yeah, open up a blog.
On Krypton.
This is on Krypton.
Oh, this takes place on Krypton. Okay.
Yeah.
This is going to focus on Superman's grandfather.
Yeah, Jack.
Not Jack.
Oh, no. Sorry.
I'm guessing his last name will end in L.
Jack L.
Not yeah. Jack L.
Okay. That's what I heard
from a girl on the radio.
Yeah, she's not good.
Two generations before the destruction of Krypton, it's Superman's family as they try to redeem the House of El's honor and save Krypton from destruction. Spoilers, they don't succeed.
What?
Oh.
But I'm saying it looks like it's going to be a sci-fi type prequel based on solely on the civilization of Krypton, which is a fresh take. We haven't seen that before.
Okay, really dumb question, and I apologize. This is Superhero 101, Ralph. And
open up a blog.
You're going to hate me for asking.
No, Google exists, right?
No, but you're human Google when it comes to Superman stuff. Okay.
The human Google, by the way, would be a great superhero.
Does Superboy grow up to be Superman, or are they two different people?
Really, Bean?
Yes. Does Superboy grow up to be Superman?
Superboy, in the comics and in the TV version, it is a young teenage Clark Kent.
Same person.
Who starts to fight crime early on in his life instead of waiting for after he becomes a grown-up and moves to Metropolis.
Oh, I thought it was just like his buddy. And it was just like
Thank
a little
you,
boy.
Allie.
Yeah.
Thank you, Allie.
You're welcome, Bean.
What?
Thank you, Allie. You're just as dumb as I am. Well, Thank you for being dumb as well.
No, and the reason
everyone is dumb.
No, the reason I was confused is because Supergirl is like 30, yet she's not Superwoman. She stays Supergirl. So I just thought there's one Supergirl, but clearly there's a Superboy and a Superman. They're separate.
Well, Supergirl is named by Cat Grant, and she's not particularly happy with that name, but it's just the moniker that Catco Media.
But how come Superboy gets to graduate to man and Supergirl doesn't get to graduate to
patriarchy?
Superboy is a young teen superhero amongst the environs of Smallville. And then, of course, he grows up, moves to Metropolis, and becomes dubbed Superman when he arrives there.
No, I don't like it.
But Superboy, of course, also has many adventures with the Legion of Superheroes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Where he interacts with Saturn Girl and Lightning Lad.
I don't have the mental capacity for Saturn Girl and Lightning Lad.
Cosmic Boy.
Come on, Lightning Lad. Come on.
The Lightning Lad.
You're totally making
Chameleon Boy.
You're making all
the Meddler.
This up. Don't forget the Meddler, the very popular
The Meddler
superhero.
Might.
Matter Eater Lad.
Sure.
Come on.
Matter Eater Lad, maybe my favorite superhero of all time, whose superpower is he can eat anything.
Nope.
That's who Matter Leader
is. Beer Mug. We're talking about Beer Mug now.
Beer Mug is Matter
Eater
Lad.
That's not a thing. Yes.
But the Legion of Superheroes is a group of teen superheroes who banded together in the 31st century, and they are inspired by the teenage exploits of Superboy. That's why they band together and become the Legion of Superheroes.
I don't know who any of those people are.
So, periodically, young Clark would travel through time as Superboy and interact with the Legion of Superheroes.
What the hell?
Right?
So on Krypton, he'll be super toddler, because it's him as a very
young... I'm guessing he will be unborn.
Oh.
Super unborn. Because you have to remember...
Super fetus.
He was newly born
before
Krypton exploded.
Ow.
So if this is about his grandfather,
right.
Who I'm assuming will be a strapping young adventurer,
uh-huh.
then Jor-El... Superman's father will, in fact, be a boy in this series. I'm
so sure. He's not even like a super gleam in his eye yet.
He's not even a super sperm at this
right.
point.
That's what I'm saying.
This will be on Sci-Fi Cable Network, apparently. So.
What is a nerd?
Good question.
You know, you guys mock and you have your little comments.
Just Matter Eater. Come on, that's lame.
Matter Eater Lad.
You can accept that's lame.
Matter Eater Lad rocks.
Matter Eater Lad.
You can eat rocks, too.
Dumb.
You know, you mock and you scoff, and yet when we're down in San Diego once a year, it's like, oh, hi, good to talk to you.
You mean when you hijack our trip?
It's a pleasure to speak with you.
And then
they're whispering to me, they're going, who is this guy, and what's he do, and what's the power, and what's the story, and what happened?
What a nerd alert!
All you need to know is that Kevin once thought Robert Kingman wrote a movie called The Walking Dead and had no idea that it was a comic book or a series or anything else. That's all you need to know.
At least he didn't say it to him.
That's true. He didn't say it out loud.
Yeah.
We were in Vegas, and maybe I had...
Oh, sure, it was Vegas.
And maybe I had...
Because usually you're so razor sharp.
Thank you,
on this
Thank
one-off,
you.
It was
Thank
probably
you.
The fact that you were at Vegas that caused
you... The facts are different
in
Vegas,
like you
I
didn't
hear.
Know
they
what
are,
you were talking
yeah,
about.
True.
He said, buying time. Try, hopefully, desperately.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
But we're also going to talk about a TV show.
A TV show, too.
A TV show that is on AMC that is fantastic.
And the creator of the graphic novel is Robert Kingsman?
Nope, Kirkman.
Can't read my own writing.
Robert Kirkman.
Yeah.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin's quite the expert in things graphic novel.
Isn't it a surprise that he ever talked to us again?
Yeah, it is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it's terrific. Had never seen it.
No.
And the graphic novel is Robert Kingsman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
That's on me.
Oh, that one's on you?
Yeah, yeah, I'll take that one.
Oh. Machine Gun Kelly, the rapper, is 26 years old. Amber Heard. Speaking of comic books, she's going to be Mira, Aquaman's wife, in the upcoming Aquaman film. 30 years old today. Shavo from System of a Down is 42. Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Speaking of comic books, he was the comedian, of course, in the classic film adaptation of the comic book, The Watchmen. And also...
Negan
from Walking Dead. And also...
Gilligan.
Thomas Wayne, Bruce Wayne's father in the most recent Batman v Superman.
So, I'm sorry, I don't speak geek.
He has quite a comic pedigree. John Waters is 70 years old today. And Jack Nicholson played the Joker in Tim Burton's Batman in 1989. See, we live in a comic book world.
We actually do.
I'm Matt Reader, lad, and I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:41.
By the way, you know, Prince performed in concert 1 week before his death on that Thursday night in Atlanta, the piano and microphone tour. If you're interested, last song he ever sang in front of an audience was that song, Purple Rain. So, that's a tip I just shared with you because we're talking about Prince a lot.
Right.
Thanks, Bean.
Yep.
We hear you.
Time for the Showbiz Beat now. Here's Matter Eater Lad with the latest. What's going on?
Now,
What do you do?
If you are a musical artist and you're about to perform on stage and you get word that musical legend icon Prince has been found dead at his home at age 57. And the stage you're about to walk out on is Minneapolis' First Avenue Club.
Wow.
Kind of where it all began for Prince.
I think I don't go out there.
You don't want to be the one to have to go out there and give everybody the bad news. Is that your point, Ralph?
No, the point is you're about to hit the stage.
Right.
You have to pay tribute, right? Whatever you're planning on doing changes at
of
that
course.
Moment.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it changed for everyone that night.
Such was the case with Slipknot's Corey Taylor, who was about to open his sold-out solo show at the club that night. And so, as you can imagine, changed things up and performed an acoustic cover of that song, Purple Rain. Huh. Pretty ballsy.
Yeah.
There is a video available at billboard.com, so you can check it out for yourself. But here's a little of the audio of Corey Taylor from Slipknot performing his tribute to the late, great Prince. I was one of the ones out to see the light.
Bad.
Yeah. Did a pretty good job. Spur of the moment, under that pressure, everyone there in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Also helps that it's kind of a sing-along. Everybody likes to get involved.
Yep. So, thought he did a pretty good job. Bean mentioned earlier in the show, we were talking about Prince's passing, but he was beyond prolific. He was compulsive regarding his composition and recording of his music. He has enough music in his vault to release one album a year for the rest of the century.
Jeez. Really?
Yes.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. Thousands of unreleased Prince songs exist in the vault, which is an actual walk-in safe with a combination lock door, and it's in the basement of Paisley Park.
I got the impression, and we heard this from musicians who would visit him over the years, or just people who would be in his house, that it was not uncommon for him to go, hey, let's go down to the basement and record. And he and the band would go down there and just play, sometimes for hours. And it wouldn't be because they were making a record. It was just because they wanted to play. And then they just put the tapes in the vault. Forget about them.
Prince released 39 studio albums, 4 live albums, 13 EPs, 104 singles over 4 decades of work. However, 70% of the music he produced and recorded was never released.
Wow.
Now, it's not clear that Prince ever wanted that music released, but Prince's estate could send could sell tens of millions of albums for potentially hundreds of millions of dollars if that music is released posthumously.
I hope it is made available. We certainly would like to hear it.
Did you get his recent albums, Bean?
Yes, got them all.
I'm a big fan, and I got some of them, but there were times where I was like, I don't know, you know, he's sort of just releasing everything that he records. Apparently, that's not even close to the case.
Yeah, I mean, there were that one year, last year, the year before, we released 3 albums. I felt like they could have pared that down to 1 really good album instead of spreading it out over 3. I mean, yeah, I agree with you, Kevin.
Now, here's the thing. It's unclear whether Prince wanted to have any of that music ever released.
Right.
It's also unclear who will inherit Prince's estate. So who will be in control of those songs?
Yeah, no kids, right?
Interesting.
Nope. What will happen regarding the record labels that he was with at the time he wrote and produced that music? Will they step in and try to
lay
claim?
Yeah, who owns it, right?
Who knows what's going to happen? It could be a legal quagmire to try to get any of this music out. But it is a testament to his creativity that there's that much music that he has recorded that is still yet to be unheard. Now, like Bean mentioned, who knows how much of it is A, material, B, C, who knows?
Or even finished, right?
Or even finished. Could be some crap that he just kind of threw together and recorded just to hear how it sounded. You never know with this stuff. But it's an amazing amount of material to still be held posthumously that we could potentially be hearing. So
Tupac levels.
Yeah, at least. You know, there's been many albums posthumously released. Kurt Cobain, Marvin Gaye, Janis Joplin, John Lennon, Elliot Smith, Notorious B.I.G., Bowie, Frank Zappa. There's a lot of people who've had that music, but never, they say, no, in the history of music, no one's ever had this much finished recorded material that could be released.
So, what happened to Amy Winehouse?
I don't know about her. Rodney, we're talking about Prince. You know Prince, don't you, Rodney? I guess he doesn't.
Ah, whatever.
I don't.
That's
Rodney.
Not the attitude.
Like that's
Rodney,
right. Oh. No.
Should have a better attitude than that. Stranded with $1 million.
Kiss. Bang, yes. Bang, bang, bang.
Right. Okay.
Stranded with $1 million.
Yes.
Stranded with $1 million.
Right. Is a show?
Is a show that's going to be on MTV.
Where am I stranded?
Aha. 10 cast members, Allie, will be stranded on an island with nothing but the clothes on their back and $1 million in cash.
Yes, what a show.
They must survive for 40 days, and then they get to split the remaining money as their prize. Why do you say remaining money, Ralph?
Why do you say remaining money, Ralph?
Well, you can buy supplies and other things, but it all comes out of the $1 million winnings.
That's going to be quite something to check out.
So how frugally can you live on that island to save up the money so that when you split it up, you get a healthy chunk of change?
Each person has $1 million, or all the people have $1 million total?
That's an excellent question, Chi Bean. However, I just told you everything I know about this show, and
well,
you're
going
to have to wait until
it's
on the air.
If I have $1 million...
I understand it changes things. I realize that many things could change many things.
What kind of stuff
But what I'm telling you is I don't know what would change or how it would change, is what I'm saying.
Where's the island?
I am going to send you there.
Oh.
You will find out shortly where the island is, because I plan to drop you on it.
Why?
Right? Thanks, Rodney.
Yeah. So that's going to be on MTV.
How to do it.
MTV's get into the game show, reality show thing. Again, more.
I think it's relatively cheap to do,
that's
right?
Well, it sure is. It's cheap stuff. Everybody loves people on an island.
That's an amazing show.
Okay. Are you watching this Survivor, the season Survivor?
I am not. I have time.
It's
should I make time?
Freaking
still good.
Unbelievable.
40 years in, still
so
good.
Good. It's not 40 years in.
Well, however long they've been doing it.
It's, I don't know, it's 15 years or something, but geez, boy, it's so good.
More things like coming out of ears and stuff?
No, not yet. Well, but one guy was sent home because of a giant gaping wound to the knee that was getting infected and was in danger of destroying his knee. The infection was about to go into the joint itself and ruin it.
Wow.
So they had to take him out of the game.
He's a fighter, and he's a winner.
He's a quitter.
He's a quitter. He's not a survivor.
They pulled him. He didn't have a choice. They said that if that infection's allowed to get any worse, you will probably lose the knee. Use of it, anyway.
What happened to them? Where are they?
It's on a show called Survivor, Rodney. Just watch it, and you'll see what happens.
It's cold outside.
I don't have time to recap the entire season so far.
Hey.
Yeah,
right.
It's
right.
Not a funny story. You okay?
Pretty good.
All right.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. Hey, how about this new movie, Keanu, that's coming out? This looks funny, doesn't it?
I can't wait.
Keegan-Michael Key, Jordan Peele. Will Forte, Neil Long,
Dr. Boogie.
Nope, Dr. Boogie is not in the film. Two friends hatch a plot to retrieve their stolen kitten from a street gang by posing as drug dealers. It's an excellent plan. Keanu's in theaters everywhere on April the 29th. However, K-Rock's having a special advance screening of Keanu at the AMC Century City on April 27th. If you'd like to go, and why wouldn't you want to go see Keanu early if you could, give me a call, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that phone number, we'll get a pair of passes to see the advanced screening of Keanu.
Bring it.
Right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Rapper Machine Gun Kelly's 26 years old today. Actress Amber Heard celebrates her 30th birthday. Shavo from System of a Down's 42. Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He's 50 years old today. We'd be such good friends if we ever met.
Yeah.
We would hang.
I know you think that.
He's got a little kid. I've got a little kid.
Yeah.
We would go and we'd have beers and say, hey, fatherhood, huh?
Right.
Clink. We'd go clink and our mugs would clink.
How about those kids?
Ah, we'd slap each other in the back and say, hey, let's watch that sporting event.
That's the worst sounds plan like you
got
ever.
Got the whole thing mapped out, Ralph.
We'd watch the sporting event that was on the television in the bar. Uh-huh.
Whatever he's into.
Oh, laughs. Laugh.
Sure.
I thought we'd cry. That hard kind of laugh where your belly hurts. You can barely catch your breath.
Yeah.
Because we entertain each other so much.
Sure.
Have you spoken with an analyst about these thoughts you're having?
Analyst.
Right.
John Waters is 70 years old today, and the master, Jack Nicholson. Oh, boy. He's the best. I miss
him. So he is officially retired, or just we haven't seen him in a movie in a while?
Well, he hasn't made any movies since he said he's not going to make any more movies. So I read that as
retired. So is he officially retired?
Well, let me see. Let me go to the island, see how much money they're splitting up, what happens to that money, and then I'll talk to Jack from the island and get all the details for everyone's questions.
Right. Got it.
He's 79 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, Patton Oswalt joins us, and we've got details.
Amazing weenie roast, yay fiesta.
Yay fiesta.
The weenie roast, yay fiesta. Monday morning at 7:15. We'll see you then.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
So here we go.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Is it bad stuff?
Good question.
Roll another one.
This is making me extremely horny.
Just like the other one.
How about that whole deal?
Huh? This one seems to be about to quit.
We're all just people.
And I need another hit.
Have you been introduced to Kevin?
No, which one's Kevin?
He's here on a special work program. He's slow, you know, in his brain.
Oh, good for you guys.
Yeah.
Roll another one.
You want showmanship? You got it.
Just like the other one.
Yum, yum. Give me some of that.
This one seems to be about to end.
Is he a racist?
I don't have another cent.
I'm going to say something. I don't want you to take it the wrong way, but you're being a huge dork.
Yeah, what was up with that?
Just pass it around.
Megan Fox, what do you have? Weird thumbs.
Listen, ladies. It's been real, and it's been fun.
But has it been real fun?
Mm-mm. Nope. Come on, let me go.
All right, listen.
Don't any of you
do that again.
I will shut that down. No exceptions.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Anyway, I'm out of here. Going to dodge those potholes. Somebody on TV said they were actually going to fix them all. Well, we'll see. Anyway, Orange County is smoother than a baby's butt. Ciao.
How about that whole deal?